Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, this is our last night of resonance as, you know, as it is. My intention, we're going to continue to go through the parables of Jesus. There's a lot more. We're going to stay on this this track and this theme as we move back into the sanctuary. Now, if we find that we get into the sanctuary and we're kind of rattling around in there, I would vote to move back out here, but we'll see how that goes. I want to share very quickly with you before we go to communion about communion. Jesus, as we've been discovering, I won't quiz you on the parables that we've covered. That probably was more important than even the music. But we talked about the sower and the seed parables that Jesus taught, the laborers in the field. Chris Langham talked about the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree, and the persistent friend, Isaac Rosa, talked about that person that just wouldn't stop knocking on that door and how the door was open, and how different our God is from the reluctant helper. He's ready to help us. Jonathan Trask on the fruitless fig tree. Jeff Wilson talked about the tower building and making sure you're ready to go to war, ready to finish the tower once you start. And beautiful parables all from Jesus. The Great Banquet from Jonathan Ferguson. Chase Acuna, did you know that their new baby has been born? Woo! I hope they're watching. Yeah. So the world is full of courage now, because that's the little boy's name. His name is Courage Shield. What a great, powerful name. But his father, Chase, took us through a study on the Pharisee and the tax man. And David Taylor talked about the wise and foolish builders. Jeff Wilson came back and did three parables, the lost son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin, reminding us how God loves lost things. He loves lost souls, and he goes seeking after lost souls. And Alan Lloyd did the Good Shepherd, and Alan is a good shepherd. He's a great co-shepherd here and just a wonderful co-worker. All these guys are. And then David Guzik. Somebody the other day pronounced his name David Guzik. He might like that. But David Guzik from up at Calvary Chapel up in Santa Barbara, that powerful story about the shrewd manager, a great lesson from a bad man. And I'll never forget that. But Jesus loved parables. Jesus was the master teacher. Would you agree with that? Jesus was the master teacher. He said more in 15 minutes than I could say in 15 years. I say that because you could read the parable, not the parable, you could read the Sermon on the Mount in 15 minutes. That is so packed full of truth. It's so just all the fat's carved away, and it's just meaty stuff. Jesus was the master teacher. He was the master at the metaphor. And he was a master at the parable. And a lot of his parables were not just presented in story form. They were presented in other visuals. Do you remember Jesus sitting down? Well, he was already seated when Nicodemus comes up. I picture it around a campfire. I don't know where it was, but Nicodemus comes up and he says, "Talk to me. Talk to me. We know that you've got to be sent from God." And Jesus talks to him about being what? Born again. And Nicodemus said, "What sense does that make? How can I go back into my mother's womb and then be born again?" It began as a metaphor. There's absolute truth in that too, that you need a new life. And the metaphor of that, it captured their attention. It was meant to be a shocking statement. And then Jesus moves into the simple statement that if you believe in me, you will have a new life, eternal life. In other words, you'll be born again by trusting in me. You see, Jesus on the last night of his life, another beautiful metaphor. We've turned it into a ceremony. Well, our church doesn't do it so much as a ceremony. But he walks up to his disciples that are seated around a big U-shaped table. And what does he do? He takes off his outer garment and he washes feet. And then he says, "I want you to wash one another's feet." That's the only time that we actually see Jesus washing feet. And I would contend he wasn't telling them to make it a ceremony. He was saying, take care of each other and serve each other like I'm serving you as a servant, and keep each other fresh and call each other out when you need to. There's a beautiful metaphor there. The metaphor that Jesus, and again, it's more than a metaphor because it's a mandate. Jesus said, now I want you to to go in all the world and preach the gospel, and when people respond and they get saved, then what do? You baptize them, and you teach them. And the baptism is a powerful, powerful parable. It's a necessary parable to walk into the water and come out of the water. I always say this, and it's kind of a joking way to talk about it, but how many of you are very thankful that when we put you down into the water, we also bring you up out of the water? How many of you are thankful you came up out of the water, because that would have been instantly into the arms of Jesus, wouldn't it? But both ends of that, going down and coming up, were lessons. You go into a grave as if you're laying something dead to rest. That's your old life. And then he says, now I'm going to raise you up. Because just as Jesus was raised from the dead, Paul said in Romans chapter 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead, now you get to walk in newness of life. You come out of the water to walk a new life. But I think the most powerful parable, of all, is signified in this little cup that you hold in your hand. It preaches something. It's a visual lesson, like all the parables are. It's a visual lesson to help us remember the most important thing we could ever remember, that our sins have been forgiven. It's a visual in our hand. How simple, how common was it on every table in that ancient world to have a loaf of bread and a cup of wine? It might have been juice at times. It might have been fermented at times. It wasn't an invitation to get drunk, but it was a powerful statement. And so Jesus said to his disciples, along with the fact that baptism was a mandate, this was a mandate. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So the most powerful parable of all, the most profound parable of all, is the one that Jesus put in our hands when we gather together. I know we've talked about this before, but there are some churches that have communion offered every time they get together. Every time. Day after day, Monday through Sunday. And I grew up in a church like that, in the Catholic Church. My brother and I would take our turn on the roster, and there would be a week where Kevin and Billy had to jump into the car and be driven down to Batavia, Ohio, to Holy Trinity Church, to serve for the, I think it was 6 or 6:30 and maybe 7 a.m. Mass, and communion was served. Every service led to the table. And there's nothing wrong with that, having communion served every time you come together. There's some people that believe that this cup should only be shared once a year, coinciding with what? Passover. That it was as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. And there they were sitting at the Passover table. I'm not sure that I go along with that, but it's not wrong if they just do it once a year. I think there's other opportunities. I don't think God is offended when a family sits down around their family table. Can I encourage you to do that? And babe is out here tonight. Joy, sitting in the courtyard. You look beautiful there underneath the light, with the light shining on your beautiful red hair. There she is. Just turn and look. She's beautiful out there. But let's remember, honey. Let's remind each other to do this at home, too. I get up here and I preach this. You should do this at home, and I always forget to do it. There's nothing in the Bible that says a pastor has to administer communion. I think it'd be a powerful thing in your own home. Maybe you still have, how many of you still have children at home? Then serve it at home. Pull out the bread, bring out the juice. Sit down after dinner one night, just like Jesus did after dinner. And I said this before, he took what was left over. He looked at the table and says, after dinner, Jesus took the bread. And then, still after dinner, he took the cup. What was left of the wine, what was left of the bread. And he made it the most powerful parable of all of his ministry. To remember that blood was shed for us, that a body was offered on behalf of our bodies. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? And God knew that we could not die for our own sins, though we deserved to. We couldn't die for our own sins and live, because we were dying for the sins that we'd committed. We were getting our just reward for our sins. That was death, eternal separation from God. So God sent his only begotten Son, the only perfect one that had ever lived. And he loaded that body, that perfect flesh, with our wretched sins. And Jesus hauled it away for us. He took it to the cross. One of my favorite things to do when the musicians were singing all this this summer was I would take a video of them from back in the crowd, and then I would swing around and focus the camera on the cross right there. I love the fact that the cross is right before us. But he said he would do that for us. He said, I'll take your sin. It was like he was saying, load me up, every sin, put it on me. And he took it to the cross for you and for me so that we could die and live again. I posted something on social media this last week. It's just this reminder. We were on the cemetery tour of Ohio, you know, when we got to Ohio and visiting graves of family members. And it was really like a cemetery tour. And I came to this one grave, and I just was so thankful to be reminded that the person who's remembered on that headstone is not there. They have jumped the grave because of what Christ did. He took that young man's sin upon himself, and he let his blood be shed for that young man's sin whose body laid in that grave so that he could jump the grave 50 years ago and be in the presence of Jesus forever. So that's what we proclaim tonight, this powerful parable that we get to hold in our hands. It's so, as they say, tactile. You get to get your hands on this one and remember and say, Jesus, as I do this tonight with the bread and with the cup, I am remembering you and I believe in you. Let me hear the voices of those that would say it out loud with old word, cool word, gusto. That would say out loud and strong, Jesus, I believe in you. Let me hear it.
Jesus, I believe in you.
That's what you're doing when you take this bread and when you take this cup. And by the way, if you're not saying that, just let the cup pass by. Because it would be kind of making a mockery of one of the most sacred things in the world. A lot of churches have different views on what happens to the bread when we pray and what happens to the cup. But I will tell you this. I really believe that this is a very, very sacred reminder of what Jesus Christ did for us. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you have never said, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin on the cross. Take what's left of my life. Why don't you just say that right now to him? Why don't you just bow your head and say, Jesus, I want forgiveness. I want eternal life. I'm tired of trying to put my own life together. Would you forgive me, cleanse me, save me, and make me yours? And he will do it. And then this is your dinner tonight. This is the feast of the forgiven. So, Father, I just pray that as we prepare to take of this communion tonight and this reminder of your great, deep, perfect love for us, it would enrich us. It would nourish us tonight, Father. We approach this, Lord, with a very sweet but serious focus, Lord. It's sweet to know that our sins have been forgiven. It's wonderful to know that our Savior took our place. Father, we come with focus and with seriousness as we say thank you tonight. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask Pastor Tree from our Vietnamese ministry if he would come up and pray for the bread.
I pray in Vietnamese, then I pray in English. Cảm ơn Chúa, Ngài cho chúng con, The Vietnamese Ministry đến đây để cùng với Hội Thánh chung để thờ phượng Ngài và có dự tiệc thánh buổi tối nay. Chúng con ở lòng cảm ơn Ngài. Chúng con xin Chúa ban phước trên chúng con trong thời giờ này. Lord, as we take the bread and drink the cup, so we remember you, your love, your mercy, your salvation through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. You are giver of life. Also, you sacrifice your life for us and open the gate of eternal life for us. As we receive this bread and cup, we thank you so much because the great price you paid for us. And thank you so much because you triumph over the death as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and our Savior forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Let's take and eat together." And Pastor Guillermo is going to come up and pray over the cup for us.
I'm going to start in Spanish first. We have our congregation right there behind, and then field work in English. By the way, this is a great joy for us to have this opportunity to be together. Amen. And we are here for over 20 years. And how grateful to know this pastor. He took the ministry about 20 over years ago, right? And a week later, I hear that they have a new pastor, and I went to, with my wife, we went to visit, to see the Calvary Chapel, and we hear the preacher preaching that wonderful gospel. And I told my wife, "Well, we found a church here, but, and that's the way you start, coming here." And God bless you. Well, Padre Celestial, Señor, queremos agradecerte por tu Hijo que vino a dar su vida por nosotros en la cruz del Calvario. Oh, Padre, cuánto agradecimiento en nuestros corazones que tú nos sacaste del barro del pecado y nos trajiste a tu Hijo y nos diste esta vida llena de paz, esta vida llena de gozo, esta vida llena de agradecimiento. Hoy recordando esto y el mandamiento de tu Hijo, en el momento de aquella memorable cena pascual, queremos, Padre Celestial, participar todos juntos de esta copa. Oh Lord, how thankful we are, remembering what your Son did for us in the cross. The commandment he gave to his apostles to do this every time, to remember that our salvation cost blood to our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we are going to participate of this cup, and we ask to bless, oh God. And again, thank you, oh Lord, we love you.
As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A death that was sufficient for our salvation, I believe, for putting everything that's broken in order. And as we prepare to close, before we sing our last song, if there's anybody in here tonight or out in the courtyard that you're in need of healing, whether it's a disease, a sickness, something that's maybe, whether it's physical or emotional, you need the touch of God upon your life tonight. I want to ask you to stand right now. Whatever it is in your life, you don't even have to identify it to us, but just stand. I want to pray for you that are standing. If you need a healing touch from Jesus tonight, or you need the fullness that Summer talked about in your life tonight, I want to ask you just to stand right now, wherever you are. Don't be ashamed of it. Jesus hung for us. We can stand for him. Anybody else? Stand. All right. Anybody else? Though you that are seated around them right now, okay, go ahead. Anybody else, take a moment, stand. I'm going to encourage you to say something out loud, okay, those of you that are standing. You don't have to shout it out loud, but I want to ask you to put these words upon your lips right now and say this to your master, your Savior. Say, "Jesus, I want everything you have for me. I surrender my life to you. And I ask for your touch upon me right now. My heart, my soul, my mind, my body. Touch me, Lord. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father God. Father, I just pray there be such a sweeping move of your Spirit right now in this house and in the courtyard, Father, and in the overflow back there, that you would meet the need, Lord, of every single one who has stood to say, Jesus, help me, or save me, or forgive me, or put my marriage together, put my family together, put my finances together. Father, I just pray that you would move by your Spirit and you would be the remedy in every life here that's crying out to you tonight in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Hey, family, let's all stand together. Shannon's going to lead us in a little more worship. And let's give praise to Jesus. Lift your voice loud and strong to heaven and to your Savior. Well, we have a few minutes to hang out before the official closing time. How many of you know that God doesn't really care about closing times? If he wants to move, he can move. And I want to let him do that tonight too. But we're going to officially wrap up here in a few minutes. But I just felt real strongly as I was standing here off to the side that Jesus wants to break chains tonight. He wants to break addictions. He wants to break sin habits. Sin habits you never thought you could ever let go of or ever get past. He wants to break that tonight, and he's just waiting for you to call out upon him and just say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, free me. Jesus, break these chains and make me a different person. You heard a story tonight about a mama that was praying for a daughter, and mama wouldn't stop. And thank God for mamas and daddies that won't stop praying for their children to find freedom and to find the fullness that you heard Summer talk about tonight. This Summer, I want to encourage you. Here's the title of your essay, Finally Full. Just go write it, okay? Just go write it. I want to read it someday. And then you write your story. Finally what? Finally free. Finally whole. Finally clean. And give all the glory to Jesus in that. But Jesus wants to break some chains tonight. So, Shannon, just sing something else. Or you can keep singing that if you want. But we just want to give you a few moments to, while we're singing, maybe you should stop the singing and just lift your voice to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be finally free. I want you to break these chains. Let's go ahead and just do that between you and God and just let him be the deliverer he wants to be, the rescuer for you tonight. I want to declare tonight that those chains have been broken by the blood of Jesus. Those chains, those addictions, those habits have been broken. And now we choose to walk in freedom. Amen? We choose to walk in freedom because the chains have been broken. Let the ball and chain drop to the side. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow torrents of living water. Everybody say torrents of living water. Listen, that's full. That's full. That's more than you can contain. That's what it means to be full and overflowing. So you that tonight have come and you've drunk of the living water and you've supped at the table of the Lord and he's filled you, expect him to overflow you. Let that living water flow from you like a torrent touching the people around you. Hey, what do you say we continue just to be a light to our community? And live this thing out between services and just let God make something new and fresh in us, okay? Amen. Lord, bless you and keep you and fill you and overflow you and anoint you to be his light in this land at this moment. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
set free my heart.